Well, tonight we have heard a wonderful presentation of really someone searching and needing freedom. Tonight I want to preach to you just for a few moments on this very subject. Jesus came to give us freedom. John chapter number 8, if you have the Word of God there in front of you. And I pray that God would bless tonight as we finalize this service. Choir, everybody did a tremendous job. It was beautifully done, so very well. But for thousands of years, people have been searching for freedom. People want freedom. The scenery that you've seen tonight, no doubt, maybe not in those exact terms, but things like that happened many years ago. And no doubt they are still happening in certain parts of our country where people are seeking freedom. God put something within our hearts that we desire to be free. He made us to be free people. In fact, if you understand about the Word of God, you will find that God created Adam and Eve and He gave them freedom. They lived in a perfect environment, a perfect society, but with freedom is a choice. And they chose to sin and rebel against God, bringing them under the bondage of sin, and they lost their freedom. It's pretty amazing that in even the first three chapters of the Word of God, humanity gave up its freedom by choosing to rebel against a holy God. The quest for freedom is found from Genesis all the way through Revelation, and it is found in the history of America. We want freedom. God wants us to have freedom. Tonight, do you know the freedom that only Jesus can offer you? We come to John chapter number 8, and the Bible begins in verse number 31. John 8, verse 31. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, If ye continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. They answered Him, We be Abraham's seed, and were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, Ye shall be made free? Jesus answered them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, Whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Now, it's pretty amazing that our Savior connects freedom with truth. We want freedom tonight. And I believe that there are people here that are lost in their sin and you want freedom. Well, may I tell you, a part of having freedom is knowing the truth. Tonight in this story, you found out that this girl, they wanted her, Shay, to have freedom. Freedom was found in Switzerland, and the idea was to get her to Switzerland. And the only way that she could get there was to know the truth. To know the truth, the right path to take, and to be able to have freedom. And brethren, tonight, Jesus came. Why did He come? Why did He come and be born in lowly manger in Bethlehem? Why did Jesus come? To give us freedom. Tonight, I want us to notice some things about this subject of freedom. In fact, do you know that we understand the Old Testament of the Bible, God's people, it's recorded of them, how that they lost their physical freedom time and time again. In fact, we know that God sent various empires who overtook them. We think about Egypt and how that they were in Egyptian bondage. They lost their physical freedom because they did not know spiritual freedom. You know, it is often that way in our society today. There are people that are filled and controlled with the bondage of sin. Many people today struggle with the bondage of sin and the chains of sin, like immoral addiction, the chains of fear, the chains of greed and doubt and anger and bitterness and insecurity and despair and depression. People all around us today, they are in bondage. They have no freedom because they don't know the truth. Tonight, I want you to notice, number one, the possibility of freedom. We understand that history tells us that there were many Jews during the time of, obviously, German oppression and Hitler and the killing of the Jews. There were many of them that did find physical freedom. But the possibility of freedom is never a guarantee. Freedom never comes to us just by chance or accident. You see, freedom is a choice. And we understand in America that we enjoy the freedom of our country, and freedom must be fought for, and freedom, there has to be a price for freedom. And brethren, there is the same price for our spiritual freedom. It took a baby being born, the Son of God. He came to die for the sins of all mankind. He shed His blood so that you and I would know freedom. Amen. There's a possibility of our freedom. I want you to understand, consider for a moment the incredible hope that was expressed in the promise that Jesus could give freedom. Notice back in John chapter 8 and verse 32, it says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." He went on in verse 36 to say, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." Think of the hope that Jesus put in the hearts of these people for freedom. In fact, you know something? There are many of us here that know Jesus Christ as our Savior. And you know what we still need? We don't need freedom from our sin debt, but we still need freedom day by day that Jesus still offers us. Amen. We need the freedom. Listen, all of us tonight, I'm sure you want freedom from trouble. You would like to have freedom from trials, and you would like to have freedom from despair and discouragement. But brethren, can I tell you, God still offers you freedom. He offers you that He will never leave you nor forsake you. He offers that He is with you at every moment. And we can cast our care upon Him, for He careth for you. Oh, folks, today, those that are living in bondage, Jesus offers freedom. He wants to give you that freedom. By the way, His freedom is not some political revolution. And by the way, true freedom is not about changing your outward circumstances. Listen, Jesus wants to give you freedom. And by the way, He wants to give you freedom wherever you are. You know, I have witnessed to many people, and I remember leading a man to the Lord not long ago. And he told me this. He said, "Pastor, I thought that I needed to get some things cleaned up in my life before I was ready to trust Jesus as my Savior." Can I tell you something tonight? I believe that's one of the greatest lies of the devil. Listen, Jesus wants to find you wherever you are at. Amen. And give you freedom. Think about Paul on the road to Damascus, persecuting Christians. He found freedom in Jesus. Think about the prodigal who was in the pig pen. Can I tell you something? He returned to his father and found freedom. Peter was on a boat fishing and he found freedom. One woman was drawing water from a well, and there she met Jesus and she found freedom. The thief that was on the cross of execution, when he found freedom in Jesus Christ. Brethren, tonight, there is the possibility of freedom for you. It is not a guarantee. We must accept the freedom that is found only in Jesus Christ. And that's why the Bible says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." But notice what Jesus said in verse 36. "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." The ideal there, the word "if." What a powerful word in the Bible, "if." You see, that's for you. That's for me. If we choose to accept the freedom. Listen, the possibility is not on Jesus, because He is willing to give us that freedom. But the possibility is on us, our choice. Adam and Eve chose to sin against God and they lost their freedom. Tonight, if you're without Jesus Christ, you're in the bondage of sin. You have no freedom of knowing that you will spend eternity with Jesus in heaven. Tonight, the possibility of freedom is that Jesus wants to make you free. Amen. Now, folks, spiritual freedom is not dependent upon your physical circumstances that may have led to your bondage. Jesus is more concerned about setting your soul free than defeating some German empire or Roman empire here as the Jewish people. By the way, do you know that God has created us to enjoy the freedom of fellowship with God? God has created us to enjoy that freedom of walking with God and knowing Him and spending eternity with Him. But there is a possibility of freedom. There have been many people that have died without Jesus Christ, not because Jesus did not die to save them from their sin, but because they rejected God's Christmas gift of freedom. Oh, Jesus came to give you freedom. Brethren, tonight Jesus is the only one who can set you free, who can give you the freedom of life instead of being a slave to sin and a slave to this world. We see the possibility of freedom. Number two, we know the perils of freedom. Do you know that there are some hindrances to freedom? There are some things that cause people to still live in bondage and they do not have freedom. I believe the first hindrance to freedom is simply ignorance. In fact, do you know what the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4? Would you turn there this evening? Because I believe God declares to us that the devil wants people to be ignorant of the truth of Jesus Christ. Now remember what the Bible says, that, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." You see, truth gives us freedom. A truth is the light. It is the light of what we are, and it's the light of knowing that Jesus is the only way. In fact, John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." There are religions out there that teach that you must be baptized in order to go to heaven. Can I tell you, they're blinded to the truth. That is not true according to the Bible. Some religions teach that if you do good deeds and you become a member of the church, or if you pay enough money to the church, that that will purchase your salvation. They're blinded to the truth. That is not truth according to the Bible. In fact, John 17:17 says, "Thy word is truth." You see, one of the greatest hindrances to freedom is ignorance. You see, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse number 3, it says, "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, and whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Now, I'm sure you know what it is to walk in physical darkness. My prayer as Isla was running down the aisle was that she wouldn't hit someone, all right? Or something, okay, on the way. You know what it is when it's dark? You bump into things, do you not? You can get hurt pretty easily and pretty seriously because we need light. We have to have light. Now, folks, why is it that people live in the bondage of their sin? Why is it that people do not put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ? Because they're blind. They don't know the truth. They do not know the truth that Jesus is the only way, and that God gave His Son to come to this earth and to bleed and die for the sins because there is no other way to heaven. Oh, listen, many people don't know freedom because of the hindrance of ignorance. By the way, do you know that when the Lord Jesus said in John chapter number 8, He said, "And ye shall know the truth." By the way, can I tell you something? That we need to notice that truth does exist. We live in a world today where they say there is no absolute truth. There's no such thing as absolute truth. I'm sorry, but the Bible says that there is absolute truth. Truth exists. And the Bible says, "And ye shall know the truth." Well, what is the truth? The truth is found in the Word of God, because thy word is truth. And Jesus said of Himself, "He is the way, the truth, and the life." Amen. Brethren, tonight, if you want to find the truth, that I'm giving you the truth from God's Word. You can say, "Well, Pastor, you know, I just think that when I die, I think that God will maybe take my good, and hopefully my good will outweigh my bad. I think that God is a God of love, and God's not going to send anybody to hell." Listen, that is your thinking, and that is wrong thinking. It is blindness to the truth that we are sinners in need of a Savior, and we cannot save ourselves. That's why Jesus came. That's why He was born in Bethlehem. He was born to die for you and me so that we could know freedom. Truth exists, but let me say this to you. Truth can be known. Jesus says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Oh, listen, one of the hindrances to bondage, or the hindrances to freedom, is ignorance. A second hindrance is arrogance. Pride. In fact, did you know the Bible tells us that in order for someone to become a child of God, they must become a little child? Now, the ideal is not that they must become little in stature, but they must become humble of mind. You know, you take a little child, children believe. Children believe what you tell them. Children are teachable. Children understand. By the way, if you ask a child, you take a child. I have this Bible club in this middle school. You ask those kids there, are you a sinner? Yep, I'm a sinner. I know it, you know. They understand it. They know it. They recognize it. And the Bible says that we must become as a little child, a child that is humble, a child that is tender, a child that is confessing their sin. What happens to many adults? They become proud. They become self-esteemed in their heart and mind. They don't need God. But a child, often they recognize their need for the Savior. In fact, go back to John chapter number 8 because I want to show you something about these Jews. Do you know that they were arrogant? They were so blind to the truth, but they were arrogant. In fact, the Pharisee's statement here was a statement of arrogance because it was a statement of a lie. Notice what the Bible says. Jesus offers them freedom. And notice what it says in verse 33 of John 8. And they answered him, "We be Abraham's seed and were never in bondage to any man." You know what I want to do to that statement? I want to laugh at that. Jews were not in bondage. Brethren, do you understand? If you study Jewish history at this time, Israel had experienced slavery under the Assyrian Empire, under the Babylonian Empire, under the Persian Empire, and now at this time, the Roman Empire. They were slaves. They understood everything about slavery. And they were so proud and arrogant, they would not admit their slavery. Brethren, can I tell you something? In order for us to know and experience the freedom in Jesus Christ, we must acknowledge to God that we are sinners. We must acknowledge to God that we are slaves to our sin and that we cannot wash away our sins and we can do nothing to pay for our sin debt. That is why Jesus came. He came to pay for our sin debt. He came to purchase salvation for you and me.
Amen.
Oh, listen, a hindrance to freedom is often arrogance. But another hindrance to freedom is just simple reluctance. My grandfather, who's with Jesus Christ right now, I can remember witnessing to my papaw that I called him in Knoxville, Tennessee. And he called me Hank, all right? He had three grandchildren, me and my two sisters, and he called us all by different names, all right? My older sister, her name was Joy, and he called her Squally, all right? That's what he called her. You say, well, why? Because when he went to the hospital, she was screaming, and he called her Squally, all right? That's what he tells us. My younger sister, her name was Lori, so that sounded a little bit like Glory, so he called her Glory Bell. That was her name. And because he liked Hank Aaron baseball, and my name was Aaron, he called me Hank, all right? And so I was Hank. That's all my papo ever called me, Hank. It was kind of precious to me and very special to me. You know, I remember witnessing to my papo. I loved him. I was close to him like no other grandparent that I ever had. I mean, I've told you, and many of you know, he bought me things that grandsons like for their grandfathers to buy them. Knives, guns, dangerous things, explosive materials, you know. I mean, it was great. And I'm still alive today, you know. He bought me my first motorcycle, a little Honda 50. And my mom stayed mad at him all the time, you know. And I remember coming home with a .22 semi-automatic rifle. And my mom said, "Where did you get that?" "Papaw gave it to me," you know. And, you know, it's just, he was just that kind of grandfather. I remember we would go to a place in Tennessee called Crystal, all right? They're kind of like, they're little square little burgers. There's not burgers at all. I don't know what it is, but it's horrible, all right? But anyway, but as a kid, I liked it, you know? And it's kind of like the White Castle of around here, all right? My papa would take me there and he would say, "Hank, how many can you eat?" And I was as skinny as could be. And I could just put those away. He'd laugh. He just thought that was the funniest thing. He would say, "Here, Hank, eat another one." You know, I think he'd just like to feed me, you know? And can I tell you something about my papa? I got so burdened for him to know Jesus. I witnessed to him and witnessed to him and told him about Jesus. I remember crying before him and saying, "Papa, I want you to know Jesus. Papa, I want you to go to heaven with me one day. I want to see you in heaven one day." And he would say, "Hank, don't worry about me. Hank, I'll get up there somehow." That's what he would say to me. He would say, "Hank, I'll be there. Just don't you worry about that." I remember talking to him at, you know, years after that. "Papa, I want you to be saved." He said, then he began to say, "Hank, I'll do that one day. I'll do that right before I get saved." You know, my papa lived with that reluctance. You know what? There are some people that say, "You know, one day I'm going to get this right. One day I'm going to seek the face of God and I'm going to accept the free gift of salvation." But brethren, today is the day of salvation. Right. We have no promise of tomorrow. We have no promise that we will live to see another day. And you're here tonight. God has put you here. He wants you to know the truth. And the truth will set you free. That Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven.
Amen.
Tonight, don't allow the perils of freedom to trip you up. Number three, the last thing tonight, is we see the person of freedom. Brethren, tonight there is only one person that can give you freedom. It's not the pastor. It's not some worker. It is not some priest. It is no one else other than Jesus Christ himself.
Right.
Jesus offers you freedom. You see, God's answer to our loss of freedom has always been found in that little baby in Bethlehem. In Jesus Christ. Folks, the core message of Christmas is simply this, that Jesus came to rescue us, to deliver us from the freedom of our sin. That's the core message of Christmas. And can I tell you something? Don't miss Christmas. Don't miss the message that Jesus is the only way. I said it before and I'll say it again. John 14:6, Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." In John chapter 10, Jesus also said, "The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy." Jesus said, "I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." He went on to say, "I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep." Brethren, do you know what? Jesus came. And look, we have little babies in this church and they're beautiful and precious, every single one of them. You know something? You think about that little baby Jesus that was in the manger. There he is, the Son of God. There he is, the one who has come to redeem us. For what purpose? Why? Because we cannot redeem ourselves. We cannot pay for our sin debt. We cannot wash away our sin. It is found. Our hope is in Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Tonight, the person of freedom is only found in the Lord. Tonight, you know something? If you will turn to Jesus, he has promised to give you freedom.
That's right.
He said, "To him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out." Jesus will not say to you, "No, I'm sorry, you're too much of a sinner. No, I'm sorry, you've done too many wrong things. No, not now." Listen, if you come to him, he's promised to give you freedom. Now tonight, let me tell you something. I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that if I were to die this evening, that I'd go to heaven to be with Jesus. Not because I'm a pastor. Not because I try to be a faithful husband and a faithful dad to my children. Not because I try to live a good moral life. But I know that I'm going to heaven because when I was 17 years of age, I understood that I was a sinner. I understood that God loved me even though I was a sinner. And I understood that my sin, there was a penalty for my sin. And that was to spend eternity in a place called hell forever. But then someone told me of Jesus who came to die for my sin. I didn't have to pay for my sin. Jesus paid it all. He paid all my sin. He came to deliver me and to give me freedom from eternal separation from God. You see, when Jesus was born in that manger, he was born to die. And on the cross, as he hung there, suspended between heaven and earth, between two thieves, God took the sin of the world and put it upon Jesus. And Jesus, the Bible says, became sin for us who knew no sin. God turned his back upon his son. Jesus suffered the separation that you and I will never have to suffer if we will accept Jesus as our Savior. Brethren, I close with this. You see, you must respond to God's invitation of freedom. Tonight, freedom is never free. Freedom is not something that just comes simply. We must respond to that invitation. You say, well, Pastor, I know that Jesus died for me. That's wonderful. But will you accept His gift? The Bible says, once again in John 8, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Listen, there is no freedom outside of Jesus Christ. Tonight, I want you to know freedom. I want you to know Christ as your personal Savior. Tonight, there is freedom only in Jesus. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Tonight, you do not have to offer. You don't have to accept this offer of freedom from your sin. But I beg of you to accept it tonight. God will not make you put your faith and trust in Him. But tonight, if you're here and you do not know where you would go if you died, tonight, if you've never accepted that freedom that is found only in Jesus Christ, then tonight, if the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. Will you accept the invitation tonight? Will you say to the Lord, yes, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. Yes, Lord, I need to be saved. Please save me. Brethren, tonight, if you're here seated, God brought you here. And tonight, if you do not know freedom in Jesus Christ, you do not know if heaven is your home, tonight, would you accept the gift? The Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Tonight, if you're willing to call on His name and accept that gift, He's promised to save you and to give you freedom. You're here this evening. Maybe you say in your heart, Pastor, I need Jesus. Pastor, I want to accept this gift of God, which was purchased by the death and shed blood of Jesus Christ. Then right now, will you turn to the Lord in prayer? Right now, if you're sitting there, if you would like to accept Jesus and receive this gift, and accept this invitation, would you pray right now? I'd like to help you pray. If you're willing to pray to God right now, pray this prayer to Him silently in your heart. You pray this to the Lord. He will hear you and forgive you, and He will adopt you into His family. The prayer goes something like this. Would you pray this silently in your heart if you do not know Jesus as your Savior? Dear Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. Forgive me of all my sins. I trust Jesus as my Savior. Help me live for You from this day forward. In Jesus' name, our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed for just another moment. Tonight, I want to ask you. You say, Pastor, I prayed that prayer with you tonight for the very first time and asked Jesus to be my Savior. I'll not embarrass you. I'll not call you out and make you that promise. But can I simply pray for you? If you prayed that prayer tonight for the first time, would you lift your hand and hold it up high? Pastor, I prayed that prayer tonight and asked Jesus to be my Savior. Let's stand together, would you please? Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. I want to finish this prayer this evening. And then let's let the Lord have His way in our heart. Father in heaven, we love You. We thank You for Your goodness. And Lord, I pray that You will do Your work tonight in a special way. Lord, thank You for the freedom that is found in You. And tonight I pray for anyone here that does not know that freedom, that they'll turn to You. Bless us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's take our hymnals and go to hymn number 535. If God has dealt with you tonight, you need freedom in Christ. Come, leave your seat. Let us take the Bible. As someone took the Bible and showed Shay how to know the Lord, let us help you this evening. Let God have His way. Hymn number 535. this evening. What a great, great night. Choir, tremendous job. And those that had a part in this production, this is just tremendous. And I don't know how Isla got in that box. That's what I would like to know. All right. And maybe we need to get her one for Christmas. She can just sleep in there, you know. They did tremendous, all of them. This was wonderful. Thank you, Brother Stevenson, for putting this all together. And I appreciate all the work and labor. You don't know everything that goes into something like this, but I appreciate all of the help and work towards this. It's been a great, great day. Now, tonight, right after this, we're going to dismiss. And if you would like to and have time to, we go to the fellowship hall where we have coffee and donuts for everyone. And we'd like for you to get to greet these actors and thank them for doing such a great job, and the choir members and all of that. And it's just been a great, great night. I want you to be in prayer this week. Pray for the Bible Club this coming Friday, that God will do a great work there. And then right after the club, my family and I will be leaving to go to Tennessee for a few days. We'll be back the Wednesday before Christmas, and we hope to see you there in the service on that Wednesday night. There'll be no King's Kids and Proteins. We'll just all join together. And thank you so much for coming, and appreciate all your faithfulness. Let's close in a word of prayer, and then you can be dismissed to the fellowship hall where it's coffee and donuts. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for a tremendous night. Thank you for all that took place here. I pray that you would bless, Lord, as we leave here, Lord, praising you for the freedom that we have in Jesus Christ. Lord, help us to honor you with our lives. Help us to tell others so that they know the freedom, the truth that is found in thee. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you for being here tonight. Lord bless you. You're dismissed.